Now some news from the world of sports, and the late, great Tom Petty said it best, the waiting is the hardest part. That was certainly the case for the woman who trained at Burke Mountain Academy and is now considered one of the greatest alpine skiers in history. That would be Michaela Schifrin, who waited out two postponements due to high winds at the Winter Games in Pyeongchang and had to wait again for a second run on the giant slalom yesterday before finishing with the gold medal, her second. Schifrin found herself in second place to Italy's Manuela Moog after the first GS run, but Schifrin's second race vaulted her past the entire field and earned her the top spot on the podium. And the GS is not even the 22-year-old Schifrin's signature race. Her real specialty is slalom, and she will compete in that event Friday as the sure favorite to win yet another gold, something no other American alpine skier has accomplished. Another local Olympian news yesterday in men's downhill skiing. Keene, New York's Tommy Biesmeier suffered an ankle injury in downhill training, so he was scratched from the race that opened up an opportunity for Starkesboro's Ryan Cochran-Siegel, who had a solid race and came in 23rd. In biathlon, in the women's 15K individual, Susan Dunkley was the top U.S. competitor, placing 19th. Emily Dreisigacker came in 67th. In cross country, the women's 10K, Stratton Mountain School's Jesse Dickens was just shy of the podium in 5th place. Montpelier's Liz Stevens also competed in that race, and she came in 30th. The other big news yesterday came in the form of two major upsets in men's hockey. And while no one expects the U.S. team to win gold this year, given that the National Hockey League has not allowed any of their players to compete in these games, it was rather shocking that the American team would lose its opening game to Slovenia, especially after taking a 2-0 lead into the third period. But that is what happened when Slovenia chipped away at the U.S. lead and tied the game with just under 90 seconds left to go in regulation, then winning 3-2 in overtime. It's a preliminary round loss for the U.S., but it does not bode well for the medal rounds. And if it amounts to a wake-up call for the U.S., the team of Olympic athletes from Russia were subject to the equivalent of an air horn blasting into their ears before the crack of dawn. Keep in mind that without any NHL players available for teams like Canada, the U.S., Sweden, etc., Russia, which is able to draw from its own professional league, is the clear favorite to win gold at these games. So dropping their opener 3-2 to Slovakia is the worst loss for the Russians since a game that you may have heard of that was played in Lake Placid back in 1980. There are two truths here, and one is that without the world's best players taking part in these Olympics, the results will not reflect which country lays claim to having the best men's hockey team, no matter who wins. But the other is that the three medals really are up for grabs this year. And as the U.S. and Russia losses show, any country in the tournament has a fair chance of snagging one of them. As for the NHL pros, the fans in Toronto are probably okay with not having any of their players taking 3 weeks off to play in South Korea because the Maple Leafs are back to winning games in bunches. They're now winners of 5 in a row after pasting the Columbus Blue Jackets 6-3 in Toronto last night. Nazem Kadri led the Leafs offense with a hat trick. Folks in Montreal might take a different view of their team's eligibility for the Olympics, perhaps preferring to see their roster play overseas at this point. The Habs were shut out 2-0 by the Avalanche in Colorado last night, with Semyon Varlamov frustrating Montreal by making 43 saves to earn the shutout. The Canadiens have now lost 3 in a row and are an almost certain no-show for the playoffs this year. To the NBA, and former Celtic Avery Bradley received a warm ovation from fans in Boston as he returned to face his old team with the LA Clippers last night, and Boston sure could have used Avery's defense, which is what he's known for. But the truth is, no one was able to stop LA's DeAndre Jordan last night. The 6'11 center poured in a career-high 30 points to go with 13 rebounds, and Boston's fallback strategy of fouling Jordan and sending him to the free throw line did not work either. Jordan shoots just 59% from the charity stripe normally, but he went 8-for-9 last night, and the Clippers routed the Celtics 129-119, despite 33 points from Kyrie Irving. In men's college hoops, the St. Michael's Purple Knights got another 20-point performance from Levi Holmes III, the junior guard pouring in 21 points, but the Knights still fell to Bentley College 82-74 in Massachusetts. Holmes has now recorded 17 games with at least 20 points this season for the 6-18 Purple Knights. The St. Mike's women also lost to their Bentley counterparts 75-63, although Leah Spencer did have a strong game leading all scorers with 20 points on the night. Elsewhere in women's college hoops, the UVM Catamounts held the Binghamton Bearcats to just 52 points. The problem was the Catamounts scored even fewer in a 52-38 loss on the road in upstate New York. Hannah Krimble led UVM with 8 points and 7 rebounds in the losing effort.